Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemfusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemfusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemfusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Josh Rogan of the Washington Post, writing Global Opinions, looking at the question of the Iran deal, the JCPOA of 2015. The question at hand is, what happens now? The lengthy negotiations, Vienna, the pastries, and in your column, Josh, a very good evening to you, you quote Robert Malley, this remark representing where we are in the negotiation. We will be prepared, meaning the United States, to adjust to a different reality in which we have to deal with all options to address Iran's nuclear program if it's not prepared to come back into the constraints of 2016. Who is Robert Malley, and how to interpret this remark about a different reality? Good evening to you, Josh.
Good evening, John. Well, Robert Malley is the lead U.S. negotiator and the U.S. special envoy for Iran. He's a very senior White House official who was instrumental in negotiating the first nuclear deal with Iran back in 2015 and 2016. And his charge since taking office in January for the Biden administration has been to convince Iran to come back to that deal after Trump withdrew the United States in 2018. And that consisted of a number of meetings where the U.S. side basically said to the Iranians, if you come back into compliance, we'll come back into the deal. And that process has been dormant since June, when the Iranian government was taken over by hardliners in a something they called an election. And since then, there's been no negotiation or no contact at all. And so what Robert Malley is admitting yesterday, as the Israeli foreign minister and the Emirati foreign minister were in Washington discussing this very subject, is that we might have to face the fact that the Iranian government has no interest in coming back into the nuclear deal and the negotiations are failed. Okay. And he calls that a new reality. A lot of other people just call that the reality. In other words, what I see is not the Biden administration anticipating a new reality, but waking up to the fact that this reality that we're actually all living in, the one that they've been ignoring, is one where these negotiations are not going to succeed. And we have to come up with other options for constraining Iran's nuclear program, which advances by the day, other options for holding together the coalition of countries keeping pressure on Iran to the extent that that's possible. And, you know, this situation, I think a lot of people in Washington were warning the Biden administration about for many months, but they were stubborn. And Robert Malley was insistent that the process in Vienna, the diplomatic process, would continue. And now that just seems obviously false. So, yeah, he's admitting that that the Biden administration needs a new approach, but it doesn't appear that they actually have one. And that's the problem.
And the question of the American people being informed. Your column concentrates on two possibilities. One, that the deal somehow is repaired and goes through. The Biden administration is then in a position to present it to the Congress and the American people convincingly, or two, that the deal falls apart. The Biden administration, if I read you correctly, must then explain to the American people what's next. Is that correct, Josh? This isn't about the seventh floor at the State Department making weighty decisions behind closed doors. This is something in public.
Absolutely. You've described it perfectly. The Biden administration, if they had succeeded in getting Iran to come back to the deal, that would have been a tough sell to Congress, because even under the terms of the 2016 nuclear deal, Iran had very limited constraints on its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. And a lot of the portions of that deal were set to expire in a couple of years anyway. So what people in Congress and both parties have been calling for is for the Biden administration to get a new deal, another deal, a bigger, better, longer, stronger deal, a deal that would put constraints on Iran's missiles, that would rein in Iran's regional mischief, and that would put constraints on its nuclear program for a longer period of time. But they couldn't even get Iran back to the old deal. So there's very little to no prospect of that. They're going to get a new deal. So actually, in a sense, their failure absolves them of the responsibility of trying to sell a bad deal to the public, which is what they were planning to do. But that doesn't solve the problem of the security nightmare that is unfolding in the Middle East as Iran gets more and more close to achieving nuclear weapons capability, because you can bet dollars to donuts that once they do have the capability to build a nuclear weapon, the Israelis will take it upon themselves to hit them, to strike them. And that is an escalation ladder that could rope us and the rest of the region into a very bloody conflict.
The sanctions regime, I'm told over a great amount of time, has hurt Iran very badly. Its economy, it's struggling often, and the virus also hurt Iran. However, Iran has subverted the sanctions to some degree by trading oil with China and other bad actors. Is this Plan B going to take into account that China is now part of the conflict? That was not the case in 2015.
Yes, it's going to have to take into account the fact that Iran and China and Russia, to an extent, are now working to thwart international and Western pressure rather than to uphold it. In other words, you know, the whole reason that Iran came to the table in the first place was because Russia, China, and the European countries and the United States had all agreed to increase pressure. That sort of consensus was totally destroyed when Trump withdrew the United States from the deal. And now, of course, China and Russia are trying to help Iran and because they have a natural alliance against the West. So, yeah, the Biden administration is trying to convince China to come back to a pressure strategy to get Iran, but there's no sign Beijing is going to do that. And basically, we don't have the option of going back to maximum pressure. And even keeping the pressure that we have on Iran is going to be very difficult because sanctions wane over time, and always the people under the sanctions find ways to evade them over time. So what we've got is a deteriorating security situation and an advancing Iranian nuclear program. That's a dangerous mix, okay? And the solutions are complicated, and they're going to require a lot of diplomacy and a lot of strategic realignment and a lot of new ideas about how to deter Iran from doing the thing that it's doing right now, which is advancing towards a nuclear weapon. That has to be the goal. And yes, the U.S. is in a terrible position, both because of the actions of the Obama administration and the Trump administration and now the Biden administration failing to really get to the root of this problem.
I want to stay with China because in your column, you point to the announcement at the end of September that the U.S., the Biden administration, was asking China to cut back its Iranian oil imports. This is a China that is now experiencing rolling blackouts, turning factories off for 2 or 3 days a week. So is that the policy? China should import less oil from a country that's energy poor?
You know, the point I tried to make in the column is that it doesn't appear the Biden administration really has a clear policy. On one day, they're trying to threaten the Chinese not to take Iran in oil. The next day, they seem to be begging the Chinese to cut Iranian imports to restart negotiations. U.S.-China relations are so bad, I don't think either of those tactics was ever likely to work. They're grasping. They're trying to get the other countries in the world to dig America out of the mess that we made for ourselves when we struck a bad deal and then withdrew from that bad deal without a plan for what to do next. And, you know, you can be sure that in this environment that China and Iran are going to be deepening their ties and what they see as an entrenched generational struggle against free and open societies, including the United States, those in the United States and Europe. That's the alignment. And to believe that China is going to side with the United States against Iran in this environment is just foolish. So I think that the Biden administration's attempts in that regard show just how few cards they have to play. So they better get their act together and maybe work with the countries that do agree with us. And that includes Israel, but it also includes the European countries to some extent and possibly our Gulf partners, because those are the ones who have a shared interest in preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon.
Timeline, Josh, we just have 30 seconds. Is there any understanding of when the Biden administration will come to terms with the fact that there is no negotiation? Christmas, the new year, something like that? We have 30 seconds.
Well, they only just admitted that it's not going well yesterday. Okay. So now they've got to have a round of regional discussions, then a round of internal discussions, then a review, then announce the review. But I would say, yes, by the end of the year, if nothing's happening, even the Biden administration won't be able to claim that this process has any legs whatsoever. And then, they will be pressured to come up with a plan B. We just don't know what it is yet.
Josh Rogan, columnist for Global Opinions of the Washington Post. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.